Welcome to Hour 3 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Wanted to take some time on today's program to illustrate to black people who seem to be shocked and in the dark about how insanely racist some white people are, because they tend to be more covert with it. They're not out with it. They're not saying the N-word. There's no signs posted, whites only, coloreds only. And so because we don't see the overt racism, we think that it's not there, and we think that they're really our friends and they're really our allies. No, they're just hiding under a mask. It's why the Klan wore hoods, because they didn't want you to know who they really were. They were the sheriffs. They were school teachers. They were judges. They were elected officials, and they hid that identity. They're doing the exact same thing now. And so I gave you a couple of examples. There was a black culture night at American Family Field ahead of a baseball game on Friday. And the comments on what should have been a really educational and fun day for anyone going to watch the Brewers play, the advertisement of that event just turned into a disgusting display of how insanely racist some white people are. And the fact that black people were in the comments saying, why are you saying this about us? But this is so mean. And black people were sharing and saying, look at what they're saying about us. Your parents didn't warn you? I've been warned about it my entire life, and I've been able to steer relatively clear. Every now and again, they'll catch you. They'll catch you. But if you get them mad enough, even your closest white friends will call you a nigger. Get them mad enough. Get them mad enough. Beat them. Outpace them. Out-earn them. Be smarter than them. It's just a matter of time. Because they all think it. Or even when they say, Sherwin, you guys can say it. How come I can't say it? Oh, you be my guest. You absolutely can. In fact, use it the way we do. If that is a word that you use it all the time. Because when we don't hear it, we think that they don't actually use the word. We think that, oh, it's not in their vocabulary. But sure, when my white friends have never used the N-word. No, they've never used it around you. Talked about the mayor of New Berlin, who shared, posted, and reposted things that are anti-Muslim, anti-black, and anti-woman. Then went back into a little bit of history about New Berlin, where the city of New Berlin got sued by Eric Holder in the U.S. Department of Justice in the Obama administration, because there was going to be an affordable housing unit built in New Berlin. And the mayor of New Berlin at the time got so many threats, he had to drop his support for the affordable housing unit, because they threatened him, they vandalized his vehicle, they threatened his wife, and they threatened his children, because he supported people that were working construction in New Berlin actually having an affordable place to live in New Berlin. He, the mayor at the time, decided he was going to pull, because they were threatening to kill him. Imagine that. It's okay to hire the workers to build houses and to build new construction in New Berlin, allowing for an affordable housing unit being built with tax credits to be constructed in New Berlin is where they draw the line. And so the mayor pulls back on his support and ultimately did not run for reelection. So don't be shocked that the current mayor of New Berlin said some very racist things. Talked about Nissan, asked you guys in the YouTube chat how many of you have ever or do you currently drive a Nissan, because Nissan, as an automotive company, allowed dealerships to charge black and Hispanic borrowers additional markups and additional fees and additional finance fees to make more profit, but they did not require or levy those fees on white borrowers. And then, because we were talking about Nissan in today's JS Online, racial discrimination lawsuit filed against the Kenosha Nissan dealership. So it looks like they're still at it. And the Nissan lawsuit that I was talking about was 26 years ago. But this article a couple of days ago, last week, Thursday, August 20th, 2026, says Kenosha Nissan management threatened several of the car dealership's black employees who reported racial harassment in 2024, according to a lawsuit recently filed in federal court. The lawsuit filed by the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on August 18th in U.S. District Court in Milwaukee states a white sales manager compared one black employee to an animal and assaulted him. The sales manager also called black employees slow, lazy, and made black employees work in the back of the office instead of the front, according to a lawsuit. The employees are not identified in the lawsuit, nor are the general manager or other leadership. Several employees resigned for fear of being terminated, and Kenosha Nissan fired an employee in retaliation for complaining about the harassment and or because of his race, according to the lawsuit. There was no record on August 20th for a lawyer representing Kenosha Nissan. Calls and emails sent to the dealership by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel were not immediately returned. You guys remember the Cunis dealership where there was a black woman who went there for an oil change and they wrote on her oil change sticker the N-word? And then, so then, I guess it was supposed to be a joke, right? You guys remember the story? Ben and Carrie talked about it when they had a morning show here. So the Cunis dealership had a service employee change the oil on a black woman's vehicle, wrote nigger on her oil change reminder sticker that they put in the top left corner of your vehicle. He expected somebody to remove it. Like, I think it might have been a joke between people that work at the dealership, and he thought that somebody would have removed it, and they didn't, and the woman took the vehicle home. So then the woman gets a call from the dealership saying, oh, can we come to your house? We left something in your car. Can we come to your house? She goes, no, you can't come to my house. What do you want to come to my house for? And then she realized why they wanted to come to her house to remove the sticker. And eventually they were all embarrassed, and the Cunis dealership did an apology. If I'm not mistaken, I think they gave away a free car to try and to smooth over the PR nightmare that was. Well, I know they have a free car giveaway going on right now, and maybe that's to make up for what was a horrible PR nightmare for them. But I'm giving you all these examples because black people, for some reason, are shocked to find out that white people hate our guts. And it's damn near all of them. It really is. It is. But we think that they're, oh, no, they don't say anything bad about me. But then there's another story. This one is bad. Texas Roadhouse is forced to respond after a disturbing post starts making the rounds online. Texas Roadhouse has officially responded after an anonymous post began circulating online with some very disturbing allegations involving black customers. So before I get into the details of this one, I've only been to the Texas Roadhouse, I think, one time. Because it's in West Bend, and I'm not out there very often. I don't even know what the hell I was doing out there. I was in, you know, was I buying a car? What was I doing in West Bend? It was a long time ago. Oh, it was probably 10, 15 years ago if it was a day. And somebody said, oh, let's go to Texas Roadhouse. They got good honey butter. Now, listen to me. Hold on now. You can sit Sherwin down with some good bread and some butter, and I'll be cool. I don't know what it is about bread and butter. I can go to town now. Don't have me going to the Cheesecake Factory, any place where they serve you some good bread and butter. Ooh, that's all I need as an appetizer. Or if I go to the Italians, you know, you go to an Italian restaurant. Here's what you do when you get some good Italian bread at an Italian restaurant. I get Italians some credit. Italians know how to eat now. They eat big mozzarella's and lasagna. I went to the Olive Garden not too long ago. We went for my brother's birthday. I love some Olive Garden. It's not real, real Italian food, but it's Italian enough.
Are you a fan of Balestrieri's?
They got a couple of Balestrieri's. You got one on 66 and Blue Mound and another one on like 68th and what is that, State Street, something like that?
I'm thinking of the one on Blue Mound.
It's you can get good Italian food any damn where. You got good pizza everywhere. I'm not having no damn argument with people who got the best damn chicken wings. You know who has the best chicken wings? Everyone. Shut up about the damn chicken wings. But here's what you do with the Italians. Because the Italians had that good olive oil. Olive oil is one of those things where quality is commensurate with price. So if you pay $37 for a bottle of olive oil, that's going to be some good olive oil. Get it infused, maybe with a little garlic infused, some kind of herb infused olive oil. You can cook with it, but it's got a low smoke point now. You can't fry stuff. You can't deep fry stuff in the olive oil, but olive oil is good, clean, healthy oil. But here's what you do with the good olive oil. It's got to be good olive oil. It can't be no cheap stuff. Don't get no Kroger olive oil. Get something with an Italian name you can't pronounce, with a bunch of apostrophes and a bunch of, like, Z's in it. Get something that's real Italian. But here's what you do. You get you some good Italian bread, okay? And you get you a little dish, and you pour out some of that good olive oil, maybe that garlic herb-infused olive oil into that little dish. You're not done yet. Listen to me. I'm trying to teach you how to eat. Now, y'all don't know how to eat right. You get you some Parmesan cheese. You sprinkle some of that Parmesan cheese and that good herb-infused, garlic-infused olive oil, okay? Listen, you're not done yet. Keep listening to me. You don't know how to eat. I'm going to teach you how to eat. You get you a piece of that good, crusty Italian bread, that fresh Italian bread that's crusty on the outside, soft on the inside. You know what I'm talking about. Like a mean woman. Hard exterior, soft on the inside. And you sop. Okay, you take some of that bread, you got to break it. You got to break that bread. Get you a nice little piece of that, a crusty Italian bread, and then you sop it in that good herb-infused, garlic-infused olive oil with that Parmesan cheese. Get you a good sop. Don't do no weak sop. Sop like you mean it. You dip it. Let it sit for a second. Let it soak. Let it marinate. Get you a load of that. Don't get too fancy with it and throw you a couple little red pepper flakes in there. Now you want to slap somebody. You know what I mean? That's how you got to do it with the Italians. What was I even talking about? I just got wrapped up in the... Oh. Texas Roadhouse has officially responded after an anonymous post began circulating online with some very disturbing allegations involving, guess who? Black customers. And no, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump, but here's what Donald Trump did. He said something that we missed, or we made it seem like it was something else. Like when Donald Trump says something, he's not smart enough to have any double entendre. When he says it, he means it. We got to listen to him. He said, I'll be your retribution. Put your faith in me. Dude sounded almost biblical when he said it. I'll be your retribution. If you hate them, I will create policies that will show how much we hate them. You're not successful. You're not doing well. Economy ain't doing well for you. How about this? I'll punish them. I'll lock them up. I'll send them back. I will deport them with no due process. I will have warrantless searches of their homes, even if they're American citizens. Don't matter. If they fit the bill, I'll take them out. Oh, the blacks? Oh, we got them. They're easy to fool. We'll take away everything that gives them an opportunity. We'll make it harder for them to go to school. We'll make it so the colleges can't look at race. Even if colleges have a history of racial discrimination, we'll make college more expensive. We'll take away their scholarships. We're going to take away affirmative action. We're going to take away DEI. They will suffer. We'll also reduce the amount of money that the federal government invests in cancer research, because what we found is that when the federal government invests in cancer research, guess whose survival rates go up? You guessed it, black people. That's DEI too. Cut it all out. I will be your retribution. And he didn't lie, not one time. That's the only thing he didn't lie about. But for some reason, that flew over our heads. They hate us. And now here's the thing. They're going to get mad at me for doing this show because they never wanted to expose. I know how much they hate us. And I can appreciate their passion. I really can. And I know I don't go into their places, into their spaces. Because for what? Think I'm going out of my way to go to some damn restaurant in Waukesha that y'all found? Are y'all insane? Do you know what they're doing to your food? And I know this because I know somebody who worked at a restaurant that got fired for spitting in the food. I know that when we had a co-op, so at Brown Deer High School, if you were a senior, you could spend 7th and 8th hour at a job, if you had a job somewhere, okay? There was a McDonald's on Green Bay Road here. Imagine this. They tore the damn McDonald's down. Hey, it don't even exist no more. How you tear down a McDonald's? McDonald's always going to make money because it's always fat people. And nuggets are delicious, and so is the Big Mac. That's why the Big Mac been on the menu for 50 years. It's delicious. I don't care what you say. You can hate fast food all you want. It's not good for you. You're not supposed to eat it every day. But every now and again, if I give me a good, hot, fresh Big Mac, my toes curl. I take a Big Mac over a date with a woman. You know what I mean? Once. Sometimes a woman going to give you way more headache. I ain't never been disappointed by a Big Mac, because even if it ain't fresh, it's still better than a woman with a bad attitude. You know what I'm saying? And I already know how much a Big Mac going to cost. That woman might cost you a whole bunch. She might cost you 18 years worth of child support. You would have wished you would have got that Big Mac. Big Mac is spending like $6.99 now. That's all right. I'll pay $6.99 once, sit in my car, put on some Kenny G, take off my shirt, sit in the park. I got tinted windows. Don't worry about what I do in my car. Why y'all always in my business? Worry about what I'm doing. Y'all need to get yourself some business.
Depends on the woman.
It always depends on the woman. But I hear they over here defending Lindsey Clancy. You can have them. You can have all them women.
Yeah.
You know, sure, when really it was the husband
that did it. Really?
No, I'm cool on that.
Yeah, a lady was trying to tell me that this weekend.
An anonymous person claimed that white servers were spitting in the food of black customers and even mentioned a Facebook group called White Servers Only. I wish I could be a member of that group. I think they've since taken the group down. Y'all have no idea when they see us coming how bad they want us to leave. I got friends that own restaurants, and he's had to fire servers because when he hears them arguing about who's going to take the black table and nobody wants to take, that's why we sit there. You ever go to a restaurant and just you sit there and everybody else getting seated, everybody else got to take, and you still sitting there? You still sitting there? Or you at a restaurant, ain't nobody coming to greet you? Ain't nobody coming to say, oh, we'll seat you in a second. Ain't nobody coming to, because the servers are arguing because nobody wants you in their section. We need to know and understand this. They don't want us. And they colonize our neighborhood. Look how many Chinese food restaurants we got in our community. Look how many Mexican food trucks just come plop themselves down in the black community. That has taken our economics, and it is competing against black-owned restaurants. Let me tell you how it used to be in Milwaukee. A lot of folks don't know this history. If you had an Irish bakery in Milwaukee, say around the turn of the 20th century, back when the Irish and the Italians and the Poles, like they all hated each other, and the Germans and the Jews, all the white folks, hey, because we weren't up here yet. When we came up here, then they all could direct their hate toward us. But before we got here, all the white folks used to hate each other. In fact, the labor massacre in Bayview in 1880, that was white people killing each other. So let's say you got a permit to open. You're Irish, and you got a little Irish bakery or whatever. Because back then, everything was about ethnicity. Now you can't really use ethnicity now like you could back then, because if you were Irish and you had an Irish bakery, then all the Irish immigrants, that's where they would go. Because you were from Ireland. You were from the homeland. They wanted to support you. They wanted to provide you with profit. If you were Irish, you said, oh, I got an Irish bakery. Oh, you do? I'll go. I'm Irish, too. My name is McClurkin, McMurray, Mickey, whatever the mix are. You go to the Irish bakery. But if you got your little Irish bakery in an Italian neighborhood, like in a third ward, you open up your little Irish bakery in an Italian neighborhood, you know what the Italians would do? Oh, okay. You want to? They will bust out your windows. They will destroy your store. And they said, you got a couple options. This is what they used to do to keep their neighborhoods ethnically clean so that no other ethnicity was taking profit away from their community. We as black folks don't do this. We welcome every damn body. Not only do we invite anybody and everybody to the barbecue, come on and open up your business in our neighborhood. Please extract more profit and more income from the black community so we have less money to spend with our own. Y'all stop tripping over these damn grocery stores closing because y'all spending your money at the damn taco truck. Ain't going to no damn grocery store. Wonder why the grocery store is closing. First of all, y'all can't cook. White women can't cook either. You know what they call it? Girl dinner. I'm fascinated by how they're almost exactly the same, but they'll have cute little names for the fact that they don't know anything about domestic duties. I did a girl dinner, and I'm watching this TikTok video with my mouth wide open because I'm just aghast at what girl dinner. You know what this broad did? I got some leftover rice and put some salt on it. Girl dinner. Oh, you can't cook. No, it's not that I can't cook. It's girl dinner. I don't know who the hell invented a charcuterie board. We're having girl dinner. You eating salami and cheese. You eating a Lunchable with olives. We're going to call it girl dinner because can't not nan none of y'all even boil some water. White girl talking about she making dinner. She making Kraft macaroni and cheese and the noodles be crunchy. You know what I mean? Come on, ladies. Call it girl dinner. I can't cook, so we're going to call it girl dinner. Well, what are you eating? One microwaved potato. Girl dinner. But no, we don't cook either. Damn food for all these damn Chinese restaurants in our neighborhood. Why would you go to the grocery store? You can go get you some egg rolls. You know what I'm saying? The anonymous person claimed that white servers were spitting in the food of black customers and even mentioned a Facebook group called White Servers Only. Those are some extremely serious accusations. At this time, no evidence has been released confirming that anybody's food was actually tampered with. Of course not. I'm not going to admit that. That's a big felony. So at the co-op that we had, the McDonald's on Green Bay Road in Brown Ears back in the early 90s, when they found out a cop was in a drive-thru, because the burger patties are frozen, they put them in this thing called a queue. A queue is something that heats the burger patty up, and then they make you double cheeseburger, they make you quarter pounder, they make you Big Mac. They would play hockey with the frozen patties if they knew that a cop was in the drive-thru. And this I knew for an absolute fact, and this is 30-something years ago. You think with how they feel about us right now that they don't spit in our food? And we go into these restaurants and we act a fool, don't we? I need more. They bring me three more lemons. No, I don't want to pay for this. We splitting this tab seven way. You honestly think that they're going to serve your food with... Now, here's the thing. They're going to smile at you. They're going to be very nice. Because I'm reading the comments on this this Texas Roadhouse post, and I feel so bad for the black folks because they over here saying, but every time I go to Texas Roadhouse, they treat me with respect and they smile at me. Because you don't need to be mean to somebody if you spit in their food. You should be nice. Because if you're mean and have an attitude, then you might suspect, uh-oh, I maybe shouldn't trust this server. They're giving me a mean look. But if they bring that hamburger out, it's got extra sauce on, and don't even, it's probably not ranch. Y'all be careful. That may not be ranch. I don't know. I'll bring my own ranch. I'll bring my own bottle of Hidden Valley. I ain't trusting that ranch. Don't you do it. Yeah, can I get an extra thing of ranch? I'll be like, sure. And what's crazy is you might have a waitress, but it's a waiter that brings the ranch. Don't do it. Don't you do that, ranch. Y'all dip everything in ranch. French fries, pizza, each other. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. Let's see what's going on here in the YouTube. Linda says, oh, good Lord. Sherwin, I want to talk about why you... sugar honey iced tea on compliments. You need to learn how to accept and receive compliments by sincere black women, period. Linda, you make it weird. That's why. You make it weird. You make it uncomfortable. You make it overly sexual. And I bring this up because if a man made the same kinds of comments to a female host, nobody would stand for it, but for some, y'all got to chill with that. Y'all
and
think
that's the truth.
That men want, we don't want to hear, we only want to hear compliments from the people we want to hear compliments from. You can't make sexual compliments to everybody. That's disgusting and unwanted. I mean, you put it in the YouTube chat, so I had to give you a little bit of honesty now, because that's what we going to do. We going to be honest. We want the white people to be honest with us too about how much they hate our guts. I almost wish they could put signs up that say no blacks allowed. Then you would know not to go in there. Because wouldn't you rather know? I'd rather know. It might hurt my feelings at first, especially if I saw it like a Burger King. Hi, from this point forward, Burger King will no longer be serving blacks. I mean, oh, darn it. I wanted a fish sandwich. I would rather know instead of living in ignorance, because they're going to get their revenge. If they don't want us, then they're going to find a way to be microaggressive, to do something that is sublime, to do something that we don't notice. And here we are thinking we're getting a good experience. They really don't like us. And if the criminal justice system isn't an indicator, if the education system isn't an indicator, if the generation after generation of lack of black home ownership, lack of policy that addresses some of these fundamental issues, like that's not an indicator. They really don't like us. The way they treated Barack Obama, the way Donald Trump runs for president 3 times and got worse and worse and worse each successive run and wins 2 out of 3 times. Now his platform is as overtly racial as one can possibly get, and he's still above a 50% approval rating in several southern and interior mountain states. Still, that needs to be a wake-up call for us. Insane. All right. There is a provocative but historically recognizable way to describe the economic structure of predominantly black neighborhoods in Milwaukee, more specifically on the north side. The people live there. The people work. The people earn money. The people spend money. But comparatively little of that land, housing, commercial property, business, or appreciating capital is owned by people who live there. When you think about it, black people, our home ownership rate is 27%. 73% of black people are renting. We are sharecropping real estate. And if your rent goes up and your wages don't, you can very easily go into debt or remain deep in the throes of poverty just to live. There's no extras. There's no vacation money. There's no money you're putting away for a rainy day. But for some reason, we have this weird view. Not all black people, let me be clear. Some of y'all know money very, very well. We look at money in terms of income. How much money do you make? Oh, I make $100,000. Oh, I make $120,000. And we think that's the pinnacle. We think that we've made it. But if you make $100,000 a year, which I suppose for a single person with no kids, that's a decent salary, you can be okay with that. But if you got a $1,500 a month car payment, you're paying $3,500 a month for rent, you're still living check to check. It is not about how much money you make, because we think if we make a bunch of money, we can floss. We can act a fool. We can brag. You know what I hate seeing? People, they got a big stack of cash and they hold it up to their ear like it's a telephone and they brag and they got a big stack of cash. When I see people with big stacks of cash, I think to myself, I hope you get robbed, because that will teach you not to walk around with cash. Because real people with real money, they don't have cash. They got bank statements. Ask that same person with a stack of cash to show you their quarterly 401k statement. I bet you they ain't got one. It's not about your income. It's about how much money you have that you don't have to touch. It's some people making $30,000 a year, but have $490,000 in an account earning interest, where they're okay making $30,000 a year. Oh, and by the way, their house is paid for. Their car is paid for. Now, they might be driving a 2002 Honda Civic. That's the thing about white folks. They don't care about cars like that. They will drive that Honda Accord until the wheels fall off. They ain't having no damn car payment because cars don't appreciate in value. Some of the richest people that I've known have driven some of the most raggedy cars ever. But it's also a good smokescreen. Some of the richest people I've ever known dress like bums. Or it looks like they do. They're just wearing some jeans and a T-shirt. A T-shirt is $700, though, and they have 12 of them. Like, dang. What kind of car is that you driving? Oh, this right here, Sherwin? Oh, this is my old reliable. No, it gets me from A to B. You already know when they say something like that. Oh, yeah, just this is my, it's just a vehicle. It's not that big of a deal. This is a pre-Civil War. This is a slavery Honda. I got an 1859 Honda carriage. Yeah, no, they're very reliable. If you look, it still smells like Civil War in it. Yep. Yeah, I'm not going to replace this till the wheels fall off of it. How many miles does it have on it? 30 billion? Oh, yeah, no, we used to take summer vacations to the sun. No, we drove it to the moon last month to go visit my in-laws. But not us. We get us. Look at me. When I first got out of college, I was like, I'm buying me a new car. I paid $571 a month, not knowing that I was getting ripped off by Nissan and ended up being in a class action lawsuit. And let me tell you how Nissan settled the class action lawsuit, where they essentially admitted without admitting that they allowed dealerships to charge Black and Hispanic borrowers higher service fees and finance fees. Here's how they settled the lawsuit: by offering Black customers low interest financing on the next Nissan that they buy. That's how they settled it. So I get this card in the mail saying I was a member of the class because I was automatically entered into the class. Like, oh, here, we'll give you low interest financing when you come back and buy your next Nissan from Rose and Rose and Rose. And I said, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. I got a Land Rover after that. That was another one. You couldn't tell me nothing when I was in that Land Rover. When I had that Land Rover, I'd go pick the daughter up one night, and the next night I'd pick up the mama. You couldn't tell me nothing when I had that Land Rover. Black with the tan interior. I come up the street. Oh, no. Here comes Sherwin. He picked my grandmother up last night. Darn it, I hate that. I hate that, Sherwin. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Talk again, mind like a weapon, every word cut clean. Your host, favorite host, the mic, God supreme. No one match the brain, no one match the vibe. Milwaukee truth teller, yeah, we feel that pride. When the people need sense, he the one they call. Sherwin Hughes on the line, that's power, y'all. He the voice of the people.
Don't let this fool you, this is some AI slop. Forget flags, armies, and governors for a moment. From an economic standpoint, colonial systems frequently operated according to a simple arrangement: resource extraction, external ownership, and wealth leaves. The colonies supplied labor, consumers, land, or raw materials. Outside owners controlled much of the productive capital. The local population participated in the economy, but captured a small portion of the accumulated wealth. That distinction between participating in an economy and owning an economy is critical. A worker receives wages, a consumer buys products, a renter purchases housing services, but an owner can accumulate equity, appreciation, profits, and an asset that can be transferred to the next generation. That brings us to Milwaukee. Zip code 53206 makes the analogy unusually easy to understand. So I'm trying to illustrate that the north side of the city of Milwaukee is essentially a colony in which Black people are there to provide resources, their money, and their income to other interests that are oftentimes not Black, and that is how the money leaves our community. The other thing is, if you inject income into the Black community, somebody else is going to get it back. Just like if we got reparations, and I don't know what the reparations check is going to be. Is it $20,000? Is it $200,000? Think about who we would give the money to. Think about what we would buy. Think about what communities would receive all of our reparations. So any money that you inject into the Black community, and it could be like social service resources, somebody is getting that money and somebody's going to get rich, and it's not us. Consider 53206, one of Milwaukee's overwhelmingly Black zip codes. Current 2020 through 2024 American Community Survey puts its population at about 19,900 people. And the average household income, this is a household, is $29,336. Per capita income is roughly $19,986, and approximately 40.5% of residents in 53206 live below the poverty line. So the poverty line is extreme poverty.
you could be 50% above, 75% above, even 100% above the federal poverty line for a family of four, and you still are not making it. So the fact that 40.5% live below it is, it's just about as bad as you can possibly get. So the household income on average in 532.06 is less than 30 grand a year, $29,336. Well, let's compare that to Milwaukee overall. What do you think the average income in the city of Milwaukee is? Now, this is not an expensive city. I know our taxes have gone up. I know the cost of living has gone up, but compare Milwaukee to a New York, an L.A., a Miami, or even a Chicago. It's a lot cheaper, a lot less expensive, right? Milwaukee average income, $54,234. 532.06 average income, $29,336. The average income of a Milwaukeean outside of 532.06 is $30,000 more a year. You would think just move out of that zip code and automatically your money's going to go up. It's $78,218 for the Milwaukee, Waukesha metro area. Average household income, so in 532.06, is $29,336. Average income for a Wisconsin family is $77,485. Average income nationally, almost $81,000 a year. In other words, the typical 532.06 household is operating at roughly 37 cents for every dollar of average household income in the surrounding area. 37 cents on the dollar is what you are making compared to someone who lives 7 miles away. There are approximately 7,572 occupied housing units in 532.06. 68% are owned or rented. So 32% are owned. So 5,131, or 67.8% of those housing units are renter occupied. 32.2% are owner occupied. And remember that the home ownership rate for the zip code, not specifically the black home ownership rate writ large. Across the metropolitan area, the black home ownership rate is only 27.5%. The African American Alliance Index, whatever the hell that is, ranked Milwaukee 49th out of 50th when it comes to black home ownership. That's not good. I wonder who's worse. Think of two families paying $1,000 every month for housing. Family A owns its house. Some portion of its payment eventually becomes home equity. The house can appreciate. The family can potentially borrow against the value of their home. Eventually, the mortgage disappears. The house can be passed to the children. Family B rents. The family receives something valuable, housing, but its rent primarily becomes revenue for the property owner. After 20 years, Family B that rents may have spent $200,000 on housing without acquiring any real estate whatsoever. That doesn't make the landlord inherently exploitative, but it illustrates the difference between consumption and accumulation. Black Milwaukeeans today are obviously not literal sharecroppers. Historically, sharecropping emerged after slavery and involved agricultural laborers working land they did not own. However, the economic resemblance to 532.06 in 2026, the resemblance is worth discussing. The sharecropper's fundamental problem was, quote, "I work, but I don't own the product asset." For many poor households, the problem becomes, "I work, but I don't own many appreciating assets." The paycheck comes in, then rent takes some, utility takes some, transportation takes some, food takes some, debt takes some, insurance takes some, Retail takes some, and the household starts the next month all over again. The person may be working continuously while accumulating very little capital. That is the modern parallel, not forced agricultural labor, but labor without any kind of ownership. We essentially are living on a sharecropping colony. Imagine Black Milwaukee as a bucket. There's a hole in the bucket, dear Eliza. Every payday, water gets poured into the bucket. The water represents wages, Social Security, government benefits, pensions, tax refunds, and other income. How much water enters the bucket is not the important question, but how many holes are in the bucket and who owns the pipes attached to the holes. If residents pay rents or property owners outside the neighborhood, money leaves household balance sheets. If they shop at corporations headquartered elsewhere, profits ultimately flow outside of the neighborhood. I feel bad because I bought these pants I'm wearing at Kohl's. I thought Kohl's was inexpensive. Kohl's costs a lot of money. Somebody lied to me. I went to the Kohl's. I shouldn't even admit this. But where can you get clothes owned by Black people? Do Black people own clothing stores? Of stuff that I want to buy, though. I don't want no ripped jeans with graffiti on a booty. I don't want no graffiti booty jeans. I'm 51 years old. I can't wear graffiti booty.
Yeah, go right down the street to Unfinished Legacy. Actually, my friend owns it.
They don't make clothes. I'm a man. You're a young person. I don't want to shop where you shop. How the hell I look? I can't stand when old people look young, try to dress, be 50 years old, got arthritis and over here wearing the brand new Jordans. You're too old, sir. Even though Jordans are our generation.
You're never too old for Jordans.
Yeah, you are. Yes, the hell. Yes, if I see a 97-year-old man with a cane, you got some fresh J's on, though. No.
Look who we got in studio today.
Somebody so old look, you in a wheelchair, right? You can't even walk. Why you need J's? You can't. Those are basketball shoes.
Those are good walking shoes.
You can, if you're in a wheelchair, you can't walk, man. J's don't even be creased.
Yeah, they'd be comfortable.
If Sherwin is ever in a wheelchair, and the way I'm going now.
Biko said you had more thoughts if you had Jordans on.
I don't need no. That's my problem now. That's my issue. If I'm in a wheelchair and I don't need to walk, I'm just going to wear slippers. Let's wear some house shoes. Like, oh, because then I'll be Mr. Hughes. Mr. Hughes. Where are your shoes? Shut up! I'm in a wheelchair wearing a bib. And if neighborhood businesses are owned by people who reside elsewhere, some portion of the profits similarly leave. Money entering a neighborhood is not the same thing as wealth remaining in the neighborhood. The Chinese restaurant, Middle Eastern gas station, and Mexican food truck examples is one of the many analogies that harms Black economics. I'm going to take a break, come back. We're over here living on a colony. Texas Roadhouse had to come out with an official statement denouncing that people are spitting in Black people's food. In 2011, the Obama administration had to sue the city of New Berlin because they didn't want an affordable housing complex built in their neighborhood. The mayor of New Berlin didn't run for re-election because he got death threats. They threatened him. They slashed his tires. They threatened his children because he supported affordable housing in New Berlin. New Berlin residents didn't want Black people moving into the neighborhood, so they threatened the mayor because of his support for the damn affordable housing project. And then you have the current mayor of New Berlin posting anti-Black, anti-Muslim sentiments on his public Facebook page. I'm giving you all of this information to show that racism is alive and well, and we choose to ignore it, or we are shocked when they tell us how they actually feel about us. On Friday, the Brewers had a Black cultural exhibition showcasing the impact and the importance of African Americans, not just on Major League Baseball, but on culture as a whole. And the comment section was full of every single racist and racial epithet you could ever think of. And the Black people were in the comments saying, why are you
you saying this about us? Why are you so mean? It's amazing that we are still shocked when we find out they're speaking their truth about how they feel about us. You go to a restaurant, you're wondering why nobody is coming to greet you. You're wondering why nobody is seating you. You're just standing there. You're standing there because the servers are arguing because they don't want us in their section. But what do? We go to the damn restaurant, do a food review, and give everybody a 10 out of 10. Oh, I'd come here again, not knowing they're probably spitting your food. And then we want to split the check 13 ways.
I'm not telling y'all to change anything that you do. I'm just telling you to be aware. They really don't like us very much. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Somebody asked me when I'm going to go back to doing the Hughes Views 414 podcast on YouTube. I don't know. 7 o'clock is, it's a tough time to want to be on the internet broadcasting. You know what I mean? It's summertime. Well, almost. It was 40 degrees this morning. Summer is over.
Yeah, it's cuffing season now. Got any prospects?
No comment. Why don't somebody cuff me? Never mind. Sorry. Didn't mean to say that out loud. I don't want to be cuffed. I don't want to be cuffed by anybody. A woman, the police, just no cuffing. Because then you know what happens. Then the holidays come up.
Lady B's trying to cuff.
No, thanks. I'm cool. I'm straight. Y'all think it's funny. Like, my safety is in jeopardy when I leave the house. Like, you know where I spend my time? Where bullets and black fists can't reach. I'm on the water. I was on the boat all weekend. It's so peaceful. It's just water. A lot of whites. But they see you out on the water. They just be waving at you, thumbing up.
You can swim?
No.
So you're on a boat and you can't swim?
I don't plan to fall out the boat. It's like when I get in my car, I don't plan on getting in an accident.
You don't got a life jacket?
I'm sure it's somewhere on a boat.
Oh, okay.
Not my boat. Get a friend with a boat. I would never buy a boat.
So you can't even doggy paddle?
No, I drown.
That's insane.
And my friend, we took the damn boat to Ball Place. We took it to Racine a couple weekends ago. Actually, they got a really nice harbor there. But sometimes when you get a little chop, and the boat is very fast. So, I don't know, we'll be going 40 or 50 miles an hour on water. It's like going 100 miles an hour on land. It is insanely fast. And so every now and again, there'll be like a little wave. And if you're going 50 miles an hour and you hit that wave, pop, and you fly up in air and you come back down and you hit another wave, pop, and you come back down, there's another wave crest, pop. Like you're flying up out the boat. And if I'm not hanging on to something, I'll be in Lake Michigan and I'm done for. But I just hope that I don't fall out the boat. I ain't falling out the boat yet. Plus, I'd rather be out on the water. I post my pictures on Snapchat, I post, or I post them on my Twitter. Follow me on the Twitter. I post them on my Instagram. So y'all be on land fighting and shooting. I don't hear a single gunshot on the water. None. I'm just out there riding around, having me a beverage. Sometimes I drive the boat. Sometimes I'm a passenger in the boat. It's too much trouble on land. I spend my summer on water. I don't need to be where y'all is at, throwing punches and getting jumped by YNs. All you reckless drivers. No, thank you. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. I like seclusion. That's why I'm not going to tell y'all where I go. I will recommend great places. Absolutely, I will. I want you guys to go and have a good time and explore Milwaukee, but do so with a little bit of caution, of course. But typically, the places that I recommend are safe. But don't act a fool, please. Act like you got a little bit of sense, like you got a little taste of some home training. Because y'all can't be going to these. And then you're going to drop my name. Well, Sherwin told me to come here. No, Sherwin did not. I didn't tell you to act like that. Unbelievable. Texas Roadhouse responds after disturbing post starts making the rounds online. Texas Roadhouse has officially responded after an anonymous post began circulating online with some very disturbing allegations involving black customers. The anonymous person claimed that white servers were spitting in the food of black customers and even mentioned a Facebook group called White Servers Only. I wonder if, let me tell you what's crazy. So I'm reading this off of Facebook. And when I pull up Facebook.com on our in-studio computer, you know whose Facebook login comes up? Benjamin. I'm not going to log in, though, because that wouldn't be very nice. Yeah, just be aware, ladies and gentlemen, that all that glitters is not gold, and maybe we should maybe stop inviting people to our barbecues, because when was the last time they invited you to one of theirs? I wouldn't eat the potato salad. You know, it's not, they don't put raisins in potato salad, do they? I thought that was.
Whites do.
I've never seen raisin. I've seen raisins in coleslaw. I've seen raisins in chicken salad. I've never seen. I thought that was just made up. Zach, you know for sure?
Yeah, Zach just said yes.
Oh, no.
I had a white grandma, but I don't think she did that.
You don't think?
No.
How white was she? Because there's levels.
Oh, she was white.
Oof. Okay.
White.
Oh, boy. All right. You okay? You good?
I'm fine. All my right, grandma was very loving. I loved her very much.
Oh, good.
God rest her soul.
My grandmother was very black and grew up in the Depression and in the Jim Crow South. She prepared us very well.
Oh, yeah. My dad's mom was like that. You know, my parents come from Mississippi. My dad comes from Mississippi, so she's, you know.
Where your mama and them from? Where your mama people from? Albany, New York? Schenectady, New York? Where's she from?
I think my mom's people are from Ohio.
Oh, goodness.
And my grandfather, he's from North Carolina.
Oof.
And he's a black man from North Carolina.
Oh, he's okay. But the mom's from Ohio.
Yeah, the mom. My grandma is from Ohio. Grandpa?
Okay.
He was from North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And my dad, he's from Mississippi, and my mom is from Milwaukee.
All right, then. So you got a little, and you grew up in Brookfield.
I grew up in Milwaukee and spent my high school years in Brookfield.
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, you have a fairly decent perspective. You got the family perspective, too.
Oh, yeah. I know the Whites very well.
All right. Then. Well, thank you for sharing your family history with us. Up next is maybe Shannon and the lunch break, minus a Nitty. Right? He's in Poland. Y'all better pray for him. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.